and WWBC 1510 AM, talking about the Word of God. We're going through Matthew chapter 6. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're on the backside of the Lord's Prayer now, and so we're moving on. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 16. We're going to be talking about everyone's least favorite subject, and that is fasting. So everybody who's addicted to food. In fact, I was talking to someone this last weekend. We were driving them back and or to Merritt Island from the airport. We had picked them up, and we were talking about food and what we liked and what we didn't like. And I told him, I said, look, my parents got me addicted to food as a very early child, and that's the reason I look like this, is because I like food. So those who like food, fasting is something that we don't necessarily like to talk about, but we are going to talk about it today, because there is a right way to fast. There's a wrong way to fast. We're not going to go on an exclusive, exhaustive sermon search of all that has to do fasting. We've done that before. You can look in the book of Isaiah and see some of the other specifics that are talked about in fasting. But before we get into that, I want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. You can call them for all of your block or concrete needs. They specialize in pouring foundations and sidewalks and doing all sorts of things of that nature. They've got decades and decades of experience. They are not afraid to get out and work hard. They're not afraid to get out and start early. They know all of the contacts that need to be made. They know the strength of the concrete, the reinforcing principles of the concrete. And I don't want you to make some of the mistakes that I did. They even know how to calculate the amount of concrete that you need. And that is a very good thing. It's very hard to stretch concrete. I don't know if you've tried it or not, but it is not all that flexible. And so if you have a concrete or block job that is coming up, give them a call, 321-536-5804. Use who many of the professionals that I know use, and that is the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. Now, I also want to invite you out to our service this weekend. We're going to be unveiling our Be a Blessing campaign. That is why we exist at Merritt Assembly of God, is to be a blessing. We want to restore value. We don't believe that there is anything that or anyone that is deemed worthless, that all have intrinsic value that is instilled in them by God, and we want them to be blessed with a relationship with God, be blessed and be a blessing in their relationships and to those around them. And so we want to invite you out to Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school. Worship is at 10:30. I will be preaching that service, and we look forward to seeing you there. So, in fact, over the next few days, I'm actually shutting myself in to a large extent, just to be prepared spiritually myself. You know, I cannot be a blessing to others until God has blessed me. And so that's what I am away trying to do here to get prepared for this this Sunday's launch. So with that being said, we want to take you to Matthew chapter 6. Yesterday we were talking about forgiveness, and one of the things that I didn't mention, and I had planned on it, and then the time just got away from me, was I recently read an article where a husband was interviewed, and he was describing how he didn't really have the proper foundation in his life, and so he had done some things that had hurt his wife. She did not have the proper foundation, and she had in turn done some things that brought him pain as well. And he made this interesting statement. He said, so I went back and I evaluated my relationship with Jesus. And he said, so I apologized to my wife, and I asked her to forgive me, and I forgave her. And that is a wonderful, wonderful place. And so I want to encourage you, don't get trapped in the enemy's snare of bitterness and unforgiveness. It will make you toxic. It will make you miserable. It will not benefit you. It will be a trap that leads to your own demise. So I want to encourage you, send forth forgiveness. Do not allow other people's failures to determine how you're going to live your life. I want to say that again. Don't allow other people's failures to determine how you are going to live your life. You live the life that Jesus wants you to live. So let's move on today to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 16. And it says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Okay, so let me tell you just a little bit about myself. For a number of years, I went on a 40-day fast at the beginning of the year. It wasn't January 1st, but it was in the first part of January, and I would go on a 40-day fast. And I enjoyed it, although it was a lot of work. There was benefit to that, and so I just continued on doing it. One year, I was extremely frustrated because it wasn't going as smooth as what it had in the past. And so I was praying, and God asked me a question, and he said this, why are you fasting? Why are you fasting? And it was followed up with a second part of the question, and he said, are you fasting right now because I've told you to fast, or are you fasting because it has been your tradition for a number of years to fast like this? And it'd probably been over 10 years that I've been doing that. And I said, in all honesty, God, I believe that I'm probably fasting because it has been my tradition to fast instead of a mandate. Listen, we are to live a life of obedience. And so fasting is an intermittent thing. It is something that you don't do all of the time. I've heard people that fasted for prolonged periods of time, and by that I mean a long, long period of time. And they would say, oh, I've been fasting for 3 months, and that wasn't a total fast. They were fasting something specific. The word fasting literally means without food. It's deterring away from food. You're not having anything to do with it. And so some people fast television. Some people fast ice cream. Some people do a soup and juice fast. That's what I did. Some people do a complete and total fast, and that is on a discipline level on its very own. These people were fasting 80, 90, 100 days, and my first response to them was quite simply this: that's not biblical. That's not biblical. You can usually go a few minutes without air. You can go a few days without water. Normally, you can go about 40 days without food. Not everybody can do that. There are some people whose metabolism has their body structure at a much lower weight, and they couldn't probably go more than a few days without food. And most of us think that we can't live for very long at all. What I have discovered is that when I am being obedient to the Lord, fasting is something that he sets us up for victory, not for defeat. So it, you could ask my wife, whenever we're home and she's in there cooking dinner, if I get hungry, I don't care if dinner is in 10 minutes. I don't care if dinner is in 5 minutes. If my body is screaming at me, you need something to eat and you need something to eat now, then I'm going to get something to eat. And so that can be a little frustrating for her, but it is just the way that that my body, you know, I don't like to go prolonged periods of time without eating. But if I'm fasting, it doesn't bother me. In fact, I had a person who saw my eating habits for a prolonged period of time, and they heard that I had fasted 40 days, and they said, I don't believe you. I've seen the frequency with which you eat and, you know, what happens to you when you don't eat, but it's a different matter when it is something that is spiritual. Fasting is a spiritual assignment. The very first time that I ever tried to fast, I can remember, I was a teenager, I was working in a department store, and I was fasting for something specific. And so I had set aside that time. It was probably about the time that I was getting ready to go off to college, I would imagine. And I went to work, and wouldn't you know it, it was the day of the company Thanksgiving dinner. And so they had this massive spread of food set up in the stock room. And they said, well, don't you want to go back there and get something? And I said, no, thank you. And the first person that I told that to said, why, are you fasting? And I was like, I haven't said a word about fasting to anybody. Because here it says that when we are pursuing this, it is not supposed to be a woe is me moment where we go around with a sad or angry countenance. That word sad that is translated there in verse number 16, it also has the inclination towards not only being sad, but being mad about it. You know, I can't, you know, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and Jonah was sad, but he was also mad. I don't want to go. I would classify him as the angry prophet who preached a revival that saw an entire city get saved, and he was upset with God about it. I don't understand that mindset, but God was concerned about the people of Nineveh, and Jonah was upset that God had a heart for them. I don't want my demeanor to be one of anger or hostility whenever God asks me to do this. He says, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. Do not be like the actors. Now, here is the thing. I'm sure that there are some wonderfully intelligent, godly actors out there that have really educated themselves on the issue. But I'm here to tell you, just because you can imitate somebody, just because you can portray somebody on television, doesn't mean that you are an expert in all the fields that you try and lecture other people about. See, I've got no problem telling you, if you come up and ask me a question about something that I don't know, I have no problem saying, I don't know. I've never studied it. There are things in life that I have never studied. I understand some of the basic principles, but I don't understand exactly how those things work. I don't deny that they work, but I just don't understand them. So I cannot explain to you the mechanics of that. But there are some people who know how to act. You know, I got to thinking about this with the coronavirus thing. Here we as preachers have been encouraging people not to live behind false pretenses or live behind masks the way that actors did back in the Bible times. You know, they would put a mask on over their face with a stick on it, and you weren't supposed to know who they were. And then they would go and act, and that way you weren't. So we've been trying to get people to live free from masks, live their own identity, be very real and authentic. And now here we are in 2020, and we're telling people, hey, you need to have a mask on, you know, if you're going to be in close proximity to somebody. The thing is that mask can sometimes conceal your identity. I was having a conversation with someone, and I was social distancing, they were social distancing, And all of a sudden, I realized who the person was. I didn't have any idea who the person was just because of the bridge of the nose up. It was only when they said, look, this is who I am. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I just didn't recognize you from the partial picture that I had. A lot of people want to send off a false image. And so when they're fasting, they're like the hypocrites, and they go around and they want you to feel sorry. Woe is me. I haven't eaten since lunch. Well, neither have I. But that's okay. That's okay. Anytime God asks us to do something, it is not because he is being mean to us. It's not because he's setting us up for failure. He's setting us up for blessing. And so these people would go around and they would disfigure their face. They would make everybody aware, oh, this is what I am doing. I am fasting so that everybody can see that I'm fasting. You know, the Bible talks about your giving that, you know, there's different aspects of giving. There is the tithe, which everybody is supposed to do. There's people who give offerings that God sees what is going on, like the widow with the two mites. And then there is giving that people do so that other people will see that they are giving. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be fasting so that other people will be impressed by that. I guarantee you this, if God tells you to fast and you start fasting and you start losing weight, people are going to notice. People are going to notice. It's not because you're doing it for them to pay attention. You're doing it for your relationship with God, and there is something of greater value than food. I know that that sounds odd to a number of people, but it is absolutely true. He says, if you are fasting so that men will know you are fasting, then you have their reward. You have the reward or the wages, the compensation that you were working to receive, the work that you were performing, that was the wage. You got accolades from men. You got their attention. Congratulations. You know what? The next day they're going to get up and they're going to forget all about it. The praise and accolades of men is very fleeting. That's why they call it like a 10-minute or 15 minutes of fame. It's because people are very fickle. Their memories are very short. What have you done for me lately? And by that I mean, what have you done for me in the past 5 minutes? Jesus goes on in verse number 17 and he says, but you... Okay, so it is true there are people who fast with the wrong motives. They do it with all sorts of disfigurement and all of that. He says, but you, just because they're doing it badly doesn't mean that you and I are not going to be doing it. But you, when you fast, anoint your head or perfume your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. And so when you're fasting, you can even go into a restaurant. Most, many places that you go now, you still have to take it out. There are some places that are open for in-house eating and stuff like that. My wife and I have been to a few restaurants, not very many, since all of this opened. We've blessed some businesses and stuff like that. He said, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. So you can go into those restaurants. You can actually buy food, get it in a to-go bag, and walk out and find somebody and say, here, I want to bless you in the name of Jesus. I know the difference between a person who is hungry and a person who says they are hungry. There have been people who I've offered food and they said, I don't want that. I want money. And you know what what that tells you when they say that is, look, even though my sign says I will work for food, I'm really not interested in food because I got all the food that I need. What I really want is you to give me money so that I can spend it the way that I want. When you fast, anoint your head, you go about and you look like you are just on top of your game, and you're going to get your nutritional supplementation from God. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you do not know about. The disciples came bringing him back food, and he says, I'm good. Before that, he was so weak that he couldn't continue on anymore. They left him at the well, and they went to find food. And when he came back, they said, did somebody bring him something to eat while we were gone? What's going on? He's a completely different person. You see, when you are walking in obedience, it is going to rejuvenate you. So you need to understand some of the parameters, and you want to do it from an authentic mindset, and you're not doing it so people can say, oh my goodness, look at them. They're really dedicated to this. He says, it's not the appearance to men that you're the most concerned about. It is your heavenly Father who is in the secret place and sees secretly what you are doing. Okay? He sees what you are doing even when no one else does. See, this is very challenging for people who, you know, in all honesty, I was raised to be a people pleaser. You know, I like to get along with everybody. I didn't like it when anybody didn't like me. I got over that. Rejection has a way of doing that. And so this last weekend, I was having a conversation with somebody, and I was ministering to them and saying, look, just because a person has this understanding, this perception, does not mean that perception is reality. You've got to understand where you are in God. You've got to understand how God sees you. And I will tell you this, God makes it very clear, whatever we have abandoned for Him, whatever we do for Him, whatever we have set aside for Him, we are in no way going to lose our reward. I don't know about you, but God's ability to reward is better than my ability to earn. Let me give you an example. Back when I was a teenager, I believe the first job that I had outside of paper routes paid me about $1.90 an hour, if I remember correct. I got to go back, but whatever minimum wage was, that's how much it was, $1.90 an hour. And, you know, that was, you know, we were just ecstatic. I get to go and I get to work a job and I'm going to make, you know, nearly $100 while I was in high school. Gas was 32 cents a gallon, I believe it was at that time. And I think you could get a meal at McDonald's for a couple of bucks. It just, money went a long way. So for a teenager, that was a lot of money. So I could go and work an 8-hour shift and I might make $16 minus taxes. I could go and help my grandfather, who had a full-time job, but he also had his own business. And I could go with no experience whatsoever. I couldn't do any of the technical stuff. What I could do was carry the vacuum pump for the air conditioning systems and carry his tool bags and go and run errands and all of that sort of stuff. And I'm telling you, I'd work with him for a few hours and he paid me much more than $1.90 an hour. I remember coming away from it and saying, he paid me $20 for one 4-hour shift of work. I thought I'd hit the lottery or something. It was like whenever he asked you to go, you wanted to go because you knew that you were going to be rewarded, not just compensated. And God says, the things that I see in the secret place, I am going to reward you openly. I'm going to make sure that it's not just a future benefit, but that you're going to experience the blessings right here. So I've told you of some honest struggles that I've had through the years about, you know, with my giving and things like that, all the while driving vehicles without air conditioning, which is a thing of my past. It's not a thing of my present. And God said, it's going to be okay. You don't have to worry about that. Meanwhile, there were other people that were driving these big fancy cars, and it really didn't matter too much to them what was going on with their spiritual life and all of that sort of stuff. And God said, don't worry about it. And then a little over a year ago, or almost a year ago, someone called me up and they said, are you at the church? And I said, no. Can you meet me at the church? Yes. And when I did, they came and they handed me the keys to a car. They don't come to my church. And I will tell you, don't be so preoccupied on the outcome that you miss the blessing. The thing that you can take out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 is when God asks you to do something, you don't have to parade it in front of men. The things that you are doing in the secret place, that's between you and the Father. That's between you and God. Don't miss time with your Heavenly Father. So we've got a major family event that'll be coming up in the next 6 months or so. And we're very excited about that. And, you know, transition is always different. One of the things that I want my kids to know is in good times and bad times, I hope that they really appreciate time that they spent with me, and that it makes them want to spend time with their kids. God bless you. I pray that if God leads you to fast, you'll do it with a smile on your face. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Back to